This is Chapel for Thursday, October 2nd. Dr. John Durham, Professor of Hebrew and Old Testament.
Thank you. Let us rise to worship God. Adoramus te Christi et benedicumus tibi. Quia per sanctum crucem et passionem tuam redemisti mundum. We worship thee, Christ, and we speak benison to thee, because through thy holy cross and passion thou hast redeemed the world. Our hymn of praise is the hymn numbered 9, All Creatures of Our God and King. Would you hear the reading of the Word of God? The Old Testament lesson is Psalm 148, and the New Testament lesson is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. And he established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and smoke like clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his command. Mountains and hills, fruit trees and cedars. Beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted, for his glory is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him, praise ye the Lord. And to this reading from the Old Testament, let me add the reading of the New Testament lesson from Philippians 2, verses 6 through 11. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May God bless to us the reading of his holy word, and may we weave into the fabric of our lives this guidance. Join with me now as together we pray. God our Father, we do praise thee in thy holiness and adore thee in the brightness of that glowing light that surrounds and shines forth from thy presence. It has shone upon us in a thousand ways, that light, and every now and then we have noticed it, falling upon us freely as the rays of the morning sun, in the reading of Scripture, in the singing of thy people, in the embrace of a friend, in the laughter of a child, in the blossom of a flower. God our Father, we do praise thee in thy nearness and adore thee in the certainty of that strengthening hope that thy presence among us keeps on bringing. It has given us assurance in 10,000 ways, that hope, and every now and then we have actually believed it, coming to us as it does, as a surprise, usually when we needed it most and expected it least. Grant us always the courage to believe and trust that hope, and reckon our belief and trust as righteousness, as thou didst for our father Abraham. God our Father, we do praise thee in thy provision, and adore thee in the comfort of the arrangements thou art always making for us. They have given us certainty in 100,000 ways, those arrangements, and every now and then we have been gripped by a knowing that thou art love and loving, a knowing that thou art here and with us, a knowing that thou hast reached out to meet us in our needs before we were able to reach for thy help. God our Father, we join sun, moon, and shining stars in the round of praise that is never ending and never enough. God our Father, we celebrate thy presence with angels and archangels as with scampering squirrels and singing whippoorwills. God our Father, we praise and adore thee because we need to. Teach us now, this morning, to want to. In Jesus' name, amen. Adoramus te Deum, we worship thee, God. These are words with which we should begin each day of our lives in the pilgrimage of struggle that is seminary at its best. This is so because we owe God our adoration simply for his gift of life, enhanced in our case by the gift also, the wonderful gift of purpose. It is so as well because worship is a first and basic obligation in the nurture of any relationship with God. And it is so because worship is as necessary to our faith as blood and breath are necessary to our bodies. That is why I propose to talk to you this morning about the four pillars of worship, the four dimensions of an appropriate adoration. The report cards held in the office of the registrar make plain the fact that the student body at Southeastern Seminary does not study enough. The report cards held in the places of student discourse make plain the fact that too often the faculty at Southeastern Seminary does not study enough. But the report cards on us all held in the data bank of the Heavenly Council make plain that we, all of us together, do not worship enough. We do not worship enough, especially when we are studying and learning. Indeed, I suspect that those records may very well show that we have not even worshiped enough during these brief times when we have gathered for worship in this room. Those times do not always seem brief, I must admit. But they are brief. And just how brief they are, you will come more and more to know when you leave this place and go into the wilderness, where there is so seldom a company with whom, like this company, you can join to praise God and to lament. So then, what are my four pillars of worship? They are, the first pillar, the object of our worship; the second pillar, the offering of our worship; the third pillar, the fellowship of our worship; and the fourth pillar, the places of our worship. Nothing ought to have been more obvious to us, really, it seems to me, than the first of those four pillars, the object of our worship, the reason for our worship. Hallelujah! Celebrate Yah, the psalmists exclaim repeatedly. The great figures of the faith, beginning with Abraham and Moses, fall down upon their faces and worship God. Whom else? What else would we, could we possibly worship save God? Well, as obvious as the answer to that question would seem to be, and as singular, the direction of our worship is one of the greatest flaws the church and our denomination within the church must confess. We worship a whole string of persons. We worship an entire inventory of things. We worship even a catalog of programs. We worship the preacher. We worship the choir director. We worship the deacon who is on our side, if there is one. We worship the pillars of the church. Sometimes we worship even our sweethearts, and I suspect God may overlook that one. We worship the building and the furniture, the windows that our rich uncle gave, and the pew cushions that old grandma gave to honor somebody or the other. We even worship the shrubbery. We worship the order of worship and where the doxology comes and when the offering is to be taken. If you don't believe it, try to change it. We worship the Sunday school, or we worship one of those great big classes, which turns out so many times to be the tail that wags the dog that is the local church. We worship sometimes the music program and the musicians, and we ought not to. We worship evangelism. We worship dear old Lottie and the foreign mission program as long as it's foreign. But let it get too near at hand and speak to the needs of the people across the tracks in Wake Forest, and we change the subject. But all this and everything like it is wrong, quite wrong. The biblical witness is entirely unequivocal on this subject. God and God alone is to be the object of our worship. This point, made repeatedly in the Bible, has never been sounded more clearly than in the first of the Ten Commandments. You are not to have any God besides me. Doesn't matter what you call it. That is the first and fundamental and too often ignored dimension of our worship. Our worship is to be the worship of God. And if it is not that, it is idolatry, pure and simple, by whatever name we may wish to call it. Hallelujah! Celebrate the Lord. The second pillar of authentic worship has to do, really, with what worship is. Worship is an offering. It's not a performance. It is not a social outing. It is not an entertainment, or shouldn't be. It is not a sugar pill of comfort. It is not a vitamin tablet of positive thinking. It is not an advertisement of our faith. It is not a gauntlet or a threat thrown down before the lost. Worship is an offering of praise and prayer, an offering of confession and honest autobiography, an offering of glad singing and heartfelt lamentation. It is an offering sometimes of complaint and angry protest. It is an offering sometimes of question and tell me why. But it is an offering always and exclusively to God. And this second pillar or dimension of our worship has implications for the way we worship, and particularly for our preparation for worship. The Bible makes abundantly clear that naught save the best we have and are should be offered to God. To him the first of the fruits are to be given, and to him only the lamb without blemish is to be offered. The absolute best we have and can do and can be are to be given to him. Not the seconds or the leftovers or the tag ends of our energy or the distracted thoughts. The great Shema, repeated by Jesus as the first and greatest commandment of God, is you are to love the Lord your God with your whole mind. That means study. With your whole being. That means living. With your whole uniqueness as a person. That means all you've got. Now, that kind of offering only rarely happens spontaneously in the very moment of worship, and when it does so happen, God has given it as a special, very special gift. The worship that is a first fruit requires preparation in prayer, preparation in consideration of and conversation with the Word of God, preparation in study, and preparation in directed thinking. If you find the worship services in the chapel somewhat deficient, look to yourself for the fault. You may have come unprepared and with the wrong kinds of expectations. Worship that is without blemish, the worship of the first fruits, does not come to those who have not worked at making themselves ready for worship. Hallelujah. Celebrate God. The third pillar of our worship is related to the company we keep. The psalmist calls upon us to praise God along with sun, moon, and shining stars, along with fire and snow and mountains and hills and wild animals and domestic animals and young and old alike. The apostle Paul reminds us that we're a part of a company he calls the body of Christ. The author of the letter to the Hebrews talks about all these witnesses from Abel to David around us like a cloud. And that lovely ancient hymn of the early church in Philippians 2 calls for the bending in obeisance of every knee in every place in the confession that Christ is Lord. We do not worship alone, not even when we worship in solitude. Worshiping with us are all who have ever believed and everything God has ever made. And we need to be conscious of their company, grateful for their reinforcement of our worship, and thankful that we are able to continue and extend their worship. They worship with us here, this great cloud of witnesses, some of them from times long past, and some of them from times near at hand. There are colleagues who worship with us here who have gone to be with God. They worship with us, this great cloud of witness, when we worship here in this place. They worship with us when we worship at home. They are watching us in worship, and they are in resonance and dialogue with us as we pray and praise and grapple with life in Christ. They are our leaders gone before us. They are our fellows across the sea. They are those to whom we pass the light of the presence for the years that are yet to come. Hallelujah. Celebrate the Lord. Well, all this worship must happen somewhere, of course, and that is the fourth dimension of an appropriate adoration. It is the dimension of the space of our worship. Where are the places of our worship? Well, here certainly in this lovely sanctuary dedicated to the praise of His presence. But also there is worship at home. There is worship at the table where grace is said. There is worship in the places where bread is broken. There is worship in all the places where those who love each other join in the sacraments of laughter and belonging. There is worship in special chapels and churches scattered throughout the land. There is worship before a lovely flower. There is worship under a shining sky. There is worship at the edge of the endless sea. There is worship in the shadow of the reaching mountains. There is worship in the far distant famous places. And then there is worship in the enchanted land called home. The ancient architecture of worship in the book of Exodus describes three circles of worship interlocked. There is the holiest place in the tabernacle where the presence of Yahweh was honored by the Ark of the Covenant. That circle was joined to the sanctuary that housed it and led to it. And the circle of the sanctuary opened into the courtyard of the tabernacle through which the world moved. God's throne, the place of his presence in the holy, most holy place. The place before that throne where the faithful gather to worship and beseech him, and the place through which all men and women moved the world of our daily existence. How are these places joined, and by whom? They are joined by the faithful, led by a minister, according to the book of Exodus, who wears on his forehead a rosette inscribed, "Holy to the Lord," and on his two shoulders, stones engraved with the names of the families given to God, and upon his chest, over his heart, 12 precious stones bearing the names of Israel's 12 sons. We, God's ministers, are to take God's people with us into his presence. Hallelujah. Celebrate God. The places of our worship are everywhere, but the places of our worship are not anywhere. For we can worship only where God is the object of our worship, and only when the worship which we offer is our very best, and only in the fellowship of all those who love the Lord. Sun, moon, shining stars, fire and ice, trees and animals, young men, maidens, old ones alike. At the name of Jesus, bowing every knee in heaven, on earth, and in the depths, confessing all, every tongue, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Celebrate, adore, worship, glorify, praise God. O God, our Father, thou hast blessed our coming into this place. Bless now our going forth from it. Bring us brave into the arena of the struggle to know thee better. Grant to us faith and help us to know how to praise. In Jesus' name, amen.